Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
You would lay on the floor asleep and you would just crap. Like a huge pile of dog crap in the floor. Just right... Right behind me, you're like, oh, the dog.
It's episode 161 of the Simply Human podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick, two human beings being human. Today is, we got an interview and we're super excited about it. Rick was actually able to be on the call, so we're going to get right to it. The show today is the interview. So without further ado, here it is. We hope you enjoy it. Joining us today on the Simply Human podcast is, you know what? We're going to have a conversation about his name, but it's Michael. Is it Cohan? Cohan? I didn't ask about your last name.
Cohan, yes.
Cohan.
Irish, German, Jew.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a pretty good combination right there. And or Makunda. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But Michael is a certified health and lifestyle coach and a 500-hour registered yoga teacher, Rick. Take notes, who works with others to help them restore balance in their lives by helping them to make healthier and more conscious lifestyle choices. Michael's goal is to help clients and students discover the skills to help them move forward in all areas of their lives. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I have a quick question before we get started,
okay.
If that's okay.
He's going to ask us our birthdays.
No. I want to know where the GoFundMe account is because I can't find it, and I want to give some money so you can get your money back.
We actually talked about this like 3 or 4 episodes ago, and I totally forgot about it.
Wait, did you listen? Did you listen to the show or something? Like, is that, how do you know about that? Someone actually listened?
Yeah, I listen to your. I always listen to shows, and I'm going to be on to get to know the people.
Oh, sweet.
I'm like, these guys are going to be fun, but I want to know where that GoFundMe account is.
Well, Mark, look, I'm not. I'm actually in my car, mobile Skyping.
Oh,
so, hey,
bragging
man,
montage.
America. So, Mark, look on the. I put it on the link to whatever show we talked about. I put it in a comment in the Facebook page.
Okay. So let me go.
All right. Post for that episode.
I'm gonna look that up. But while I'm looking that up, go ahead and tell us, because it's you go to your website and you do some research. You see Michael sometimes, or on your email, you see Makunda sometimes. Talk about what is that all about?
Yeah, no worries. So I come from I work with a lot of Indian clients, so I can say this professionally. I am the whitest Indian you'll ever meet, born in as a German Jewish American who met his Swami, who is a Hindu, and took on formal initiation. And there's a whole backstory before around this, where at the age of 30, I was divorced. I was $100,000 in debt. I weighed 230 pounds. I woke up every morning and bumped a line of Coke and went to bed every night drinking a bottle of wine, taking two Xanaxes, and worked in a high-pressured corporate job. And this was miserable. My stepfather was dying of cancer. I was in a really bad place. I mean, I met this therapist who kind of like walked me through kind of like turning my life around, even though on paper I looked very successful. I had a great job. I actually had like a Manhattanite girlfriend that was really good looking and really sexy, but I was just miserable and dark inside. And part of the way for me to cope with all these anger issues was to see a therapist. And this therapist recommended yoga as a way to deal with my stress, my anxiety, and my anger issues. And through that journey, I got healthy and I began to kind of contemplate the meaning of life, which is spirituality. Like, who am I? What's my purpose? And then along that journey, I met my spiritual teacher, Radhana Swami, and I studied with him for, you know, like 5 or 6 years, cleansing my mind and body. And through a series of following what we call regulative principles, I took formal initiation into what is called a disciplic lineage or sampradaya that dates back to the time of Krishna, or the time of like the birth of this age, like biblical times, like teacher to student, teacher to student. And I got the name Mukunda Chandradas. And it takes on a certain energy. Like that's that name that I was given is what my teacher thinks my true potential can be.
Huh.
And so when you, and then the Eastern philosophy or the Eastern tradition, when you take on formal initiation with a guru, they give you your spiritual name as a way to say, here's who you can be if you continue on this journey to enlightenment.
So Rick's name would be Truck Stop Men's Room. I think would be your potential.
No,
Rick.
You're thinking American Indian, not
yeah. Yeah, Eastern religion, American Indian. That's
oh, right, right, right.
You can't deport Native Americans from this country.
Michael, have you ever thought about making, like, legally making that Mukunda your actual legal name?
Or is it?
No. My American name, my birth name is Michael, and I go by both Michael and Mukunda. Names connotate the relationship you want to have with something.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to have like a material name, like, you know, hey, let's go hang out and shoot some pool and let's have some fun, that's Michael. If you want to have a spiritual relationship with me, study scriptures, practice yoga, learn about like life goals and spirituality, then it's Mukunda.
See, now there's lots of ways.
It's Michael on the street, Mukunda between the sheets.
Something along those lines.
No. My girlfriend calls me Michael.
Yeah. So, like at work, it's like. What about Bob? When Richard Dreyfuss is like, in my office, you may call me. What was his name? Dr. Marvin. Leo Marvin. You know that book. He's like, in my office, you can call me Leo. In my home, I'd like you to call me Dr. Marvin. So in my home, I would like for my family to refer to me as, please don't bother me. And at work, you can call me Mark. How about that?
Yeah, no problem. As long as it's not from El Paso.
All right, so I want to start off with the second question. By definition, I'm not starting off. I'm asking the second question, not the first. However, be that as it may, so you got introduced to yoga by a therapist. Was this just a regular, what you would call, I guess, mainstream, psychologist, therapist type of person? It's like, hey, maybe you should look into this. Or was it someone that, like, maybe wasn't quite as traditional? Like, tell me about that.
No. This guy was the most normal guy. I've never, everything that has ever come to me that's worked out in my life, it's just kind of been like karma and the universe. Like, it's just kind of like, my best friend, basically, I was in a bar. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was acting like an a-hole. I don't know if we can use the split, like what kind of language
you can
use on this show.
Saying a-hole is okay, but I will have to bleep out if you say the other thing. Rick, don't do it.
I was a total D-bag. That's the best way. I was just like, it's like New York City D-bag, super ego, just like jerk. And my best friend, who was like a really cool hippie girl, surfer girl, she just looked at me. She's like, dude, you're going to die if you don't see a therapist. Like you're being this like this big D-bag. Everybody just like hates you and you got problems. Go figure them out. I'm a real friend and I'll hang out with you. But like you need to figure your stuff out. Like you're a mess. And I just was like, okay. And I went online to my insurance company and typed in psychologist and went, what's the closest place to my office? And this
that takes my insurance. Yeah.
And I was.
Everyone finds their therapist. So they go, who's on my insurance and who's closest to work?
Oh.
Yeah. Who's within walking distance?
That's it. So you better hope there's someone on your team.
Uh oh. Riding some connection issues.
Yeah, he's driving. It happens.
Yeah,
commute.
That's how Rick finds his whiskey. He just drives through the drive-thru of like the liquor store and is like, "Whatever's on sale."
I thought he was gonna drive through McDonald's asking for the whiskey because he gets confused.
Pretty much.
So that's how I found my therapist. It was like at the time when yoga was like just coming out of like fringy society. Lady Gaga just didn't do yoga yet. And the New Yorker, before Lady Gaga did yoga, New Yorker did this whole article on how yoga can help you. And it was in my therapist's office. And my therapist was like, do yoga. Like, he was like, I don't know what he, I think he didn't know what to do with me. Because I walked into the place and I was like, yeah, hi, I have a graduate degree in psychology. I work in the city. I'm really type A. And you, I'm not going to lie on the couch and talk about my problems. And he just like looked at me. He's like, try yoga. And I was like, fine, I'll try yoga. And then, so I went to this yoga studio, and like, there were all these beautiful women, and I'm this like fat slob who can't walk up a flight of stairs. And like, I'm like, I want to date these women. Hey, I'm like, and that's how I got into yoga. And so I would like show up to yoga on like a Sunday morning, like hungover, toxic. And my teacher would just look at me and she goes, one of these days you're going to come in sober. And you're going to be clean. And I was like, fine, challenge accepted. I will do that. And the next week I came in sober. And I was like, see, I could do this. And that's how I started getting into yoga.
So when you first went in, was it like a dumpster fire of you trying to do all the positions? Or did you have relatively like good mobility where you could like do some of the more advanced poses?
No, dude, I couldn't touch my knees. You know, people are like, oh, I can't touch my toes. I couldn't touch my knees because I had a gut in the way. No. And, like, this isn't like yoga now where yoga's everywhere. You can practice yoga at the mall. You can practice yoga in the gym. There were maybe, like, 36 yoga studios, and everybody took it very seriously. Yeah. So there's this fat, out-of-shape Jewish man that's a little hairier than he is now because, like, I got healthy, so I lost some of my hair, who, like, can't breathe. Walks into the studio in a suit, sweating, and like puts on like, you know, like, you know, like gym clothes, and everybody's wearing like Lululemon, and I'm wearing like, you know, Hanes t-shirts and like, you know, knit shorts from Walmart. And I sit down, I can't even sit on the ground. Like, I had to sit on like 3 blocks and a strap, and next to me is like this beautiful fashion model and my slobby fat.
And you're just like lighting up, like lights up a cigarette, like before class.
Oh, and I would be smoking a cigarette before I walked into the studio. And this is a time when like famous people still practice yoga in the yoga studios. They weren't mainstream. So like Russell Simmons is in the room and Maggie Gyllenhaal's in the room.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, this is New York City like 15 years ago. Like all these famous people and this slobby fat guy.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so there was that day. Now, what is your, like, let's fast forward to now. What is your day-to-day now?
I get up every morning at 6 a.m. and I spend 2 hours meditating, practicing yoga, doing japa meditation, which is a resuscitation of a mantra, journal, foam roll, tai chi, yoga, completely different guy, super healthy. I have a great girlfriend who's super supportive and super cool. And I spend my day just helping people find their path in life and find their purpose, like to get unstuck. You know, I think the biggest problem with like the yoga and life coaching industry, which is what I try not to do, is try not to help people find their passion. Because like, I just don't think it's just like, find your passion. Well, what if your passion is collecting baseball cards? How are you going to live your life collecting baseball cards? So I just help people like find what brings them joy without being distracted by social media and the television, and try to help people eat a little better and live a little better and not beat themselves up when they want to go out and have like, you know, a couple of beers with their friends and eat some like other food.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about what is your sort of health wellness philosophy?
I don't really have a philosophy. I don't really follow, like, I have a bunch of certifications. I think like formal training, I value formal training as a person. So when I look for somebody to work with, I always look to make sure they have formal training. So I have formal training. But I don't really follow any sort of philosophy. I start with teaching people how to meditate, and then we just have a conversation. It's like, what's going on in your life? What's wrong? Well, and people just say like, and they start from there. Like some people are like, I want to lose 10 pounds. And other people are like, I hate my job. And some people will go, I don't get along with my family. And the list just goes on. And all I try to do is teach people through making a little bit more healthier choices, learning how to breathe and begin to look at their thought patterns and how their thought patterns are related to unconscious programming and how to reprogram the mind through just like living more mindful.
Yeah. So agree or disagree and why? There is one right way to move. There is one right way to eat.
I disagree.
Follow that, and you'll be fine.
I disagree. And this is why. I think all a lot of this self-help industry is a bunch of BS. Like, here's the latest book on how to lose weight. Like, right now, everybody's paleo. And I'm just like, what the heck is paleo? Like, we were these tiny little pygmy people that there was no way we ate animals every day. Like, it's like it was impossible. And every time we do an archaeological study, they say, we ate bugs, we ate grubs, and we ate plants.
Well, it's like animals are very vicious. And they're very they're very dangerous. It's very risky to kill an animal every single day for, like, three times a day. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't believe in – I don't practice fad diets. I'm like – for me, it's like if you want to go – if you want a donut, go eat a donut.
Yes.
If you want, like live your life, but learn how to live your life healthy.
Yeah, you know, so basically what you're saying is make healthy sort of the lizard brain is in control where you're not really have to thinking about it. It's on cruise control. The things you normally do in your normal – daily routine are healthy, and then if you have a beer with your friends and you go out for pizza or burgers or whatever, and you you go to bed at 2 a.m. or something, it doesn't just completely destroy you.
Yeah, you get up the next day, you dust yourself off, and you start your day. What I like to work with clients on is the automatic automatic responses. So I'll work with a client and they'll be like, I had a horrible day and my boss was really mean to me and my wife was screaming and yelling at me and the kids were out of control, and so I went to the refrigerator, I drank six beers and ate a thing of pizza. Okay,
were you watching me this morning before I went to work?
This is how I was trying to find your GoFundMe account, because I've been stalking you.
Oh, speaking of that, very quickly, Rick, it's up to $21.
$21.
21 big ones. Okay, anyway.
So what I like to figure out is ways to create different habits to deal with those stressful situations. Or like with stress eating and not to beat somebody up. I had a client that is trying to lose 10 pounds and she's working with me and a nutritionist. And she went to her family for the weekend and her family's really stressful. And they're kind of judgmental. They don't like her path in life. She chose to become more of a new age yoga teacher. And she's trying to build a holistic wellness center. And she's no longer a lawyer. And her parents are kind of critical. And so instead of her taking Xanax and alcohol, she decided to bring 3 pounds of M&Ms with her. And she got through the weekend by eating M&Ms. And on Monday morning, her nutritionist beat her up over it. She was like, couldn't you develop healthier ways to do that, take a walk? And I was like, what kind of person says that? She's in a stressful situation. Her family's judging her. They're ridiculing her. She's not drinking alcohol and taking Xanax. She's eating M&Ms.
Or cutting her arms. Yeah.
Right. So it's all about finding balance of what works for you and not letting people beat you up for your choices. Not to compare and contrast and not to look at the television and say, that's how I'm supposed to live my life.
Yeah,
that's what I work on.
Yeah, and I think we share some similarities in our thought process, because this whole idea about the cheat day or this idea that you fell off a wagon if you ate a 3 pound bag of M&Ms or something. It's the way I look at it, it's what you said about the donut. No, you didn't fall off the wagon because you ate a donut. You ate a donut. Why does that have to be some huge, profound event in your life? And now it's Thursday and you ate a donut, so you might as well eat donuts until Monday when you can start the week over again. Just the next thing you do is just the next decision that you make. So I think people get so hung up on these with a fad diet that you get into that risk of sort of falling into that trap. I think the goal is to get to a point where you might have to track calories or do a food journal, just sort of recalibrate if you haven't been intentional about what you've been eating for a long time. But eventually you get to a point where you're just sort of on autopilot. That's how we're designed. That's how our brains are designed to be healthy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just about, I'll give me as an example. I love donuts. Donuts are one of my favorite things in the world. Rick likes scotch. I like donuts.
No, he likes cheap Canadian whiskey.
Cheap Canadian whiskey, even better.
I like brown, wet whiskey, all right? I'm not particularly
gross.
The stuff that smells like my rubbing alcohol that I clean my yoga mat with.
Exactly.
Ah, so refreshing. It darn so good.
So like, I like donuts. Like that is my, that donuts, grilled cheese and French fries are my comfort food. When I begin to be like, when my life begins to become stressful and I start to not get enough sleep and I start to become overworked at work or like something goes wrong in my life, My first thing I do is start to watch a little bit more TV than I should. So instead of watching like an hour of TV a night, I'll watch 3 hours of TV. Then I'm a little tired the next day. Then I will go eat like a grilled cheese and French fries. And then if I don't catch myself and go, oh, wow, I'm eating my grilled cheese and French fries, I know that now I'm a little tired and I'm starting to regress to like unhealthier choices because I have those habits patterned into my brain, because once they're always there. You never get rid of those underlying subconscious thoughts.
Right.
Then I have to be like, okay, get a good night's sleep. But if I ignore it and I go, don't get a good night's sleep, then next day I'm going to eat a bunch of donuts as a way to cope it. And I'm going to get like the 32-ounce like big soda gulpy garbage. And that's going to be my comfort food to get me through the day.
Because you're tired because you didn't get enough sleep. Yeah.
And it's just a trigger. And we all have these different domino effect triggers that go from our best self to our worst self. And as if we live more mindful and we're more conscious, then we begin to understand what our triggers are in any given situation that takes us away from our best self, which is, you know, we just know who we are. We're compassionate. We're able to help people. We're able to provide value. We're not conceited. We're not egoic. To our worst self, where it's like, it's me against the world and everybody, I got to crush everybody. And I just want to feed my ego and feed my body to feel good. And that's just like, it's just about our patterns that allow us to digress and based on whatever's going on in a different person's life.
Yeah. Are you a fan of, sorry, Rick, you go ahead.
Hang on. Before, I don't want you, I want to stand on what you was just talking about.
Yeah.
You just said something that was very interesting to me. You know, you said that you personally, if you're feeling super stressed out, your go-to kind of comfort food is grilled cheese, French fries, and donuts. And hopefully when you're eating those, you realize, oh, you know what, I need to make sure that I'm recalibrating. I think the problem isn't necessarily, you know, going to those comfort foods when you're super stressed out or eating the 3-pound bag of M&Ms necessarily when you're stressed out. It's making sure that the times where you're stressed out are few and far between. And so that your normal, your 90% is not stressed out, feels good, and is able to, you know, use your lizard brain of being healthy. And that, like, when that one day out of every couple of weeks happens, you have a fight with your spouse or something happens at work or something, then you have the leeway.
Wiggle room. Yeah.
The wiggle room to be like, you know what? I had a real crappy day today. I'm going to have pizza because pizza's my thing. I'm going to eat some pizza. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to go to sleep. And then tomorrow I'm going to be back and I'm going to take care of my stress. And everything's going to be fine. It's kind of how I interpreted what you said. Is that about right?
You make me sound so much smarter than I am now. Thanks, Rick.
Rick, in my show notes, I'm writing, Rick makes a really solid point.
Hey, well, I do what I can, everyone. It's hard to be me. It's really hard. I muddle through.
And here's the thing, Rick. That's what mindfulness is.
Yeah.
We have this like big new agey viewpoint of what mindfulness is, where it's like some guy with a shaved head, I had one once, sitting in robes in a room in contemplation with this like blissful face. And that's the goal of mindfulness. And whenever I hear that, I'm always like, God, I just want to like stab myself and like, you know, slit my wrist. And like, this is what I feel. I'm like, God, this is why people don't like people like me. Cause it's not relatable.
Yeah.
You know, mindfulness is just about understanding who you are, your patterns, what's going on in your life, and figure out like when you're not in perfect harmony with your life that's good for you, what are your triggers that bring you off balance and how to recalibrate. And when you know that, then you're living mindfully.
I have a theory. I want to see what you think about this theory. I think that someone who is being mindless and they're just kind of living life, their health is not on their radar. And now all of a sudden they're gonna try to make a change. It like, so they do paleo or they do vegan or they do vegetarian or they do South Beach or they do the whatever fad diet they see. They're gonna see positive results, not because necessarily that diet is the best thing for them, but only because they're being intentional about it. They're putting forth some thought to it. And do you think that's true or not?
Yeah, I mean, of course. But the problem is when people do that without understanding why they're doing it, it doesn't last. That's why
right.
most people go on a diet and then they revert back to their like same state. And we can get into why change is so hard if you want, because I have a pretty good theory of why I think change is so hard from my personal experience and from like my experience working with people.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, and I was going to say too, like that's, you know, that, so you get some initial results because you're being just intentional in any way. Same thing with like a movement program. You're going to start working out. It really doesn't matter what you do. You do anything, you're going to see some improvement. The trick is, okay, it's got to be a sustainable behavior or it's not going to last. So are you a fan of like the buzzword for it is like keystone habits, where, you know, it's like making your bed technically has nothing to do with your physical health. But if you get into a routine where, okay, every morning I wake up, I'm going to drink 8 ounces of water. I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to floss, you know, I'm going to do these things and that's going to lead me to make better, you know, choices throughout the day. Is that something that you, teach or is that
yeah, I coach that. That's one of my primary like core principles of coaching.
Oh my gosh.
Teach people healthy habits first thing in the morning, before they start their day. Like, and usually it's like simple acts of like making the bed and sitting in meditation for like, and start as simple as that, and try to get to them where they're at a point where they're doing an hour routine that works for them every morning. I'm a huge fan of that.
Oh, because sweet. Well, what is your routine? What do you do in the, like? Well, you already mentioned it. You said you meditate for 2 hours. Okay, so let's say you're working with somebody who is just coming to the table. They're not ready to meditate.
I don't meditate for 2 hours. I have my routine is ridiculous. One, I don't have kids.
Oh.
Two,
well,
I'm a yoga teacher and I work for myself and I don't have a 9-to-5 job. Three, I go to bed and get up at this butt crack of dawn because I'm a yogi.
Yeah.
So like my routine is not what anybody else can do. My right. routine is 2.5 hours long in the morning.
Yeah. So what do you suggest for somebody who's like who you were, you know, 10 years ago, that's just coming, they just need some sort of first step. What are kind of like the basics of a morning routine?
You know, my basics for my morning routine, let's just say like brand new person, if they need to be up and out the door at 7 o'clock, they got to get up at 7, they got to shower and be out the door by 7:30. I tell them to start getting up at 6:30.
Yeah.
That's the first goal. Like get up a half hour before you start your day, sit down on a couch, don't turn the TV on. If you drink coffee, make a cup of coffee or make a cup of tea and read a book. Read something. That's like the easiest activity. And I'm not talking about read like a fantasy novel. I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. I read comics. I'm a loser. I'm talking like read a Tony Robbins book or a Zig Ziglar yeah. book or like any book that's like, here's some tips on how to be healthier. Like,
yeah.
like it, you know, three, you know, one page worth of knowledge distilled in 300 pages to get to one point.
Yeah.
But just read something, drink coffee for 10 minutes. Then take 10 minutes and do some light stretching, whether it's yoga or like I like Dan Millman's Peaceful Warrior workout.
Yes.
Or, yeah, I'm a big fan of his Peaceful cool. Warrior or like Tai Chi. Do that for 10 minutes and then sit down and write whatever's on your mind. Just get it out of your head, because a lot of the negativity that we have in life is this unnecessarily walking around. And once you dump it out of your head, 9 times out of 10, you'll feel better.
Yeah, and I will say this, it's kind of a personal anecdote. There was a morning a few weeks ago that I was getting ready, and my kids are off for summer, and so my wife teaches, and so she's off too, and so my mornings are way less stressful, you know, during the summer, because I could just get myself ready and I'm out the door. Well, I got into an argument with my wife. And it just, yeah, which isn't very uncommon, like in the morning. Like the whole rest of my day was ruined. I didn't go work out that afternoon. I didn't have my coffee. I didn't do that. And then like I messed up like my morning, and then I was going to do this one thing, and I just like, you know, I don't feel like doing that. And like looking back on that day, I was like, oh my gosh, it has to be because my morning got kind of screwed up. And I was in kind of a weird, stressful state in the morning, and it messed my whole day up.
Got to learn to put the toilet seat down, my man.
I know. Dang. How do you know? Ricky's following us.
I think he's the three-eyed raven.
Ooh. Yes.
So the baseline that I teach in terms of like keystone habits that I think, because like I you go to these like self-help seminars and everybody's like, meditate first thing in the morning and everything will work out. Well, you know what? If you don't know how to meditate and you can't sit still because you haven't done it for 20 years, you ain't going to meditate tomorrow.
Right.
So let's just start with a simple baseline of getting a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or a glass of water, sitting down and reading for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah.
And then over time, let's build on top of that. That's where I start with. And make your bed. Yes. Always make your bed.
Okay. That's such making the bed kills me. Because we're going to get right back in our bed, you and me, because we live together.
God, I wish.
Yeah, right.
But, like, I don't make the bed because I wake up before my wife. But all of those other things, and I don't necessarily do them, like, for the reasons that you guys do. I just do them because I'm a super, super creature of habit. And it just seems like things for me are more calm and more orderly when I do the things that I do. I make my coffee. I do those. And if something happens, like the other day, I haven't done this in forever, but I did the old AM PM on my alarm. I marked my alarm for 5:45 PM instead of 5:45.
Oh
PM.
No. Yeah.
But I didn't wake up so late. I couldn't get to work. I woke up when Anna's alarm went off.
But it messed up your routine.
At 6:15, I could still get to work on time and all that. And it jacked my whole routine up. And that whole day, I felt just anxiety and pressure. And it there was really no reason for any of it. And finally, near the end of my day, I was like, I know what happened. I had a terrible day because I got off track.
Right.
Like, right from the get-go. And for me, like, the first 2 hours of my day.
You're sitting on the toilet.
Well, that's part of what I do, Mark. As soon as I get to work, I open up my office door and then I go to the bathroom. If I do the things that I typically do in my first 2 hours, then that almost want to say that builds enough resiliency to deal with like whatever comes my way the rest of the day. Does that make sense?
So you're telling me you're a creature of habit?
Yes, very much so.
Me too. Yeah. Mark, are you a creature of habit?
Wait a second. I think there's a consistency here.
Every person's a creature of habit. We all run on habits. I mean, if you want to look at this from a yoga standpoint, the second line of the Yoga Sutras is, like, I'll get a little new age on you guys.
Ooh,
real
yes.
quick. Bear with me. Is yogas chitta vritti nirodha. Through the sensations of the fluctuation of the mind, one obtains the perfection of yoga. Then the rest of the philosophy of yoga explains what's going on. And one of the philosophies is you as a human being run on autopilot, as in yoga we call them samskaras. These are automatic responses. Like when you're in line at the bank and there's a long line, you get pissed off. That's a samskara. You're not consciously going, oh, there's a long line, I think I'll be mad now. When you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth, you don't consciously go, this is how I brush my teeth. Right, left, up, down, in, out. You were taught how to brush your teeth as a kid, and that becomes a samskara. It's an automatic pattern.
Spell that for me.
Samskara?
Yeah.
I think it's S-A-M-S-K-A-R-A. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. I just say it. Don't ask me how to spell it.
I can't spell my name half the time. I'm dyslexic.
Hey, a red line didn't come up underneath it when I wrote it in, so that must be right.
So, we as human beings are programmed to work on autopilot, and the yogis have been saying this since the dawn of time, and now all this new age science is coming out and saying, yep, the yogis are right once again.
Yep.
90% of our thought patterns are done on autopilot, and everything's based on a routine. So if you want to change your life, and you want to be healthier, and you want to have better relationships, the easiest thing to do is change your routine. This is where it comes hard. That's because the problem isn't your desire to change your routine. It's the people in your life that don't allow you to change.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part. That's what makes change so hard. So when you as a creature of habit, the reason why it's easy for you, Rick, is because you have this great guy whose name's Mark who supports you and your growth.
Mm.
Yes.
And our life partnership.
Some kind of growth.
Yeah.
Right.
So a habit. I've seen it defined as a cue followed by a routine followed by a reward. And so figuring out how to change the routine while keeping the reward the same is the key. You know, it's like, you know, your cue is every, okay, it's 10 p.m. My favorite show comes on and I'm going to watch it for the next hour. The reward is I watched my show. So make it be like the cue. Change, it's 10 p.m. Change your routine to I'm going to go to bed, but then you record it and watch it the next morning or something. So your reward is the same. You still get to watch the show, but you've changed your routine. And that's how you kind of go in there and kind of rewire your brain to develop some of those different neural pathways to change your behaviors to healthy behaviors instead of continuing having to fight against your willpower.
Well, yeah. I mean, as you guys know, and probably your audience, willpower only gets you so far in life. And then it's just like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest part of change isn't your desire to change. It's the people in your life that support you in your growth.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, when you go on your journey, like a lot of the people around you, you're not going to be friends with anymore. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth of life. And you have to ask yourself when you're on this growth journey and you want to change your pattern, you have to say, okay, these people that are like my lifelong friends, if you moved across the country, would they still be your lifelong friends or would you never see them again?
Right.
And if you were going to see them, if you moved across this country, then they're going to cheer you on for your growth and your change. If you're never going to see them again, if you moved across the country, they're this temporary friends. That doesn't mean they're bad. Huh. That's temporary.
That's a good way to define it. The other, I think we've talked about it before on the show, is the Mexican prison friend. If you were in a Mexican prison and you had one phone call and the person had to answer and they had to come help you, that's the same kind of list. Or like kidneys. Like if I called Rick and it was like, Rick, I need your kidney in the next 10 minutes. And he would definitely say no.
Hello? Yeah. Is that a dial? I can't. Hello?
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Yeah.
But here's the thing, Rick. Here's the thing. Even those people that are willing to give you your kidney aren't bad people. Sometimes those people are still temporary or permanent. So there's three types of friends that we have in this world. We have our permanent friends, our change friends, and our temporary friends. And all these people can be wonderful human beings. They can be great people. Your permanent friends are the people that you've known since your childhood age or some point in life, and they only look at you one way. And so people are always going to treat you that way in your permanent friends. Then you have temporary friends, and these are your friends you have like different stages in your life, and you can have them for a long period of time. They're your college friends, you know, and you can be friends with your college friends to this day. You then have your rare friends, and these are your change friends. And these are the friends that when you're like, you know what, I'm going to take on this new activity, they're like, go for it. Or I'm going to lose some weight. Or I'm going to like learn a language, and I'm not going to hang out because I'm trying to better myself. Those are the people that are going to cheer you on and be your friends no matter who you are. And those are really rare to have. Most people aren't comfortable with that because people identify their lives with the people they surround themselves with, what they do for a living, and the community they're from. So if you are changing, you're coming a different person. Like, let's say you're overweight. We'll use that. That's the easiest one. And you become this thin guy. You're changing your environment. The people around you, you're changing. And they don't like that. They're not bad people. You're just attacking their identification. And this is why change is so hard, is because when people want you to stay the way you are, because then that's how they know the world exists.
Right. All right. Well, we need to wrap, and I want to get to the cool gift that you sent, that link that you sent for our listeners, and talk about your podcast and your website and all that. But there was one more point I wanted to make just real quick, is that, and it's something that I discovered this or sort of realized this after I read The Anti-Fragile by Nassim Taleb. And it's the things that have been around the longest are generally like the things that work the best, right? And so when you look at, it's like what you said a second ago, like, oh, the yogis were right again, like meditation, mindfulness, like all that, that prayer, all that has been around since before recorded history. Like there's something effective about it. Like the people that think, oh, it's just, I'm going to use my phone to help me get healthy. Like the phone's been around for just a small fraction of the amount of time that you know, some of the other things have been around for. So, you know, do you agree with that?
I call it the weapons of mass distraction. Television, Facebook, social media, television, these are all distractions on your way to find your real self.
Yeah.
Yes. Things cool. Like prayer. You know, we live in an age where religion is being used in a negative way, and there's nothing wrong with religion. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu. There's nothing wrong with having a spiritual path. There's nothing wrong with adhering towards a tradition. These traditions help you become better if you use them to make yourself a better person and to help the world around you without judging other people.
Right.
It's when we compare and contrast our religion or our belief is better than your belief and we're right and you're wrong is when it becomes harmful.
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now just really quickly called The Denial of Death by Ernest Becker. And it have you read that or heard of it or anything?
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah, so it's talking about how like all these wars and everything are just it's just everybody just kind of staying close to what they believe. It's like all these holy wars and everything. It's like that we need to like rise above that or something. Like we're that's not the way to do it. And so that's just like in the it's called the After Such a Grim Diagnosis of the Human Condition. It is not surprising, you know. So I don't know. It's a really cool book. I'm excited. It's like I got it. You know, it's like it looks like an actual first edition of like 1973. It's falling apart, but anyway. So read that book. Okay, you sent a link. So it's yourwellnessyogi.com/simplyhuman, and basically this is a thing that you sign up for this deal, and you get. Kind of like a little guide where you can go in and kind of assess where you are on several different factors or sort of domains in your life. So talk about like this gift that you've given our listeners.
Well, that's the first gift. So you go to my website and you go to yourwellnessyogi.com/simplyhuman, and you can sign up and you'll get sent to you one of six workbooks or quizzes that start with. And the first one is a circle of life quiz that will help you identify areas of your life. And then over the course of the next 45 days, you'll get other free workbooks on career goal, career set, like career, like development, relationship skills, goal setting, healthy eating habits, Ayurvedic nutrition. And it's just a way for me to give back. When I was on my journey, I had some really good mentors, and I got a lot of free information. I did some trying to give information back to people.
Cool. Is that Rick?
And
is that you?
A
are
way
you
to have a conversation,
Rick?
If anybody wants, just give me a call and we'll have a conversation.
Cool.
I'm just here to help.
Awesome. And yeah, yourwellnessyogi.com is the website. You have a podcast, correct?
I have a podcast right now. All it is me repurposing my blog.
Okay.
Or I just. Because not everybody likes to read, so I just repurposed my blog for audio listeners also.
Cool. And what's the name of the podcast?
Living Life on Purpose.
Living Life on Purpose, where all podcasts are sold. I think Rick might have had to jump off the call.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're still here? Sorry.
And by the way, I'm always surprised when people listen to my podcast or read my blog. I'm always like, you read that?
I know. That's how we were whenever you said the thing about the GoFundMe. I was like, wait a second. How do you know about that? Surely you didn't listen to our podcast.
Right. You're like, wait, you listened to me? And you're like, awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, man, I really would like to have you back on. I know we just sort of scratched the surface on a lot of this stuff. Like, I had all this stuff about the three, you know, the four human needs and the
six human needs,
where there's four for survival and all that stuff, the three relationship stages and all that. We didn't get to any of that. So,
five languages of love.
Yes. We need to get to all that stuff and maybe have you back on sometime in the fall or something. But this has been great. And I really appreciate you giving us your time.
So wait, you didn't guess my birthday, dude. I'm like, this is not a complete show.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought we were all cool. We were boys. We were going to hang out. We were going to do some yoga.
This is my, that is my bad. I even wrote guess his birthday, and I'm looking at it. I wrote it down. Okay, we each get one, we each get two guesses. I'll go first. July 4th.
No.
Dang it.
November 17th.
Not even close. You were close, Mark. Wait, Rick, your birthday is June 26th, right?
That's mine.
No, that's
Mark, your birthday is June. See, Mark. I guessed your birthday, one of your birthdays.
Wait, is yours June 26th?
He knew because he looked on the Facebook where I wish you
had. Oh.
My birthday is June 5th. I was like, when it asks my birthday, I'm going to flip it on them. I'm going to get one of their birthdays right.
You did it. That was amazing. Well, okay, the reason, you know why I guessed July 4 was because I feel like you and I have some things in common, and I was guessing that you were also a Cancer.
Gemini.
But you're a Gemini. I think Cancer starts at June 21, right? So I'm just barely a Cancer. Yay, Cancer. I love being a Cancer. Cool.
I'm a fat, crazy Gemini, man. Yeah. I make no sense in this world.
Yeah. Awesome, Michael. Really appreciate it. And, yeah, we'll hopefully have you back on soon. This has been awesome.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.